Sir Richard to the rescue.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. It's been about a month since the subprime mortgage monster took a bite out of Britain's Northern Rock. This morning, the Times of London reports UK billionaire Sir Richard Branson may play the White Knight and rescue this mortgage company from deep distress. We have more from Kyle James.
The Times says the Virgin Group is in talks with investors from the U.S. and the Middle East over putting together a cash injection for Northern Rock. In exchange, they would get a controlling stake in the troubled bank. If the deal goes through, Northern Rock would become part of the Virgin Money brand, which would take over the day-to-day management. Analyst James Hamilton with Numis Securities in London says Northern Rock is a good fit for Virgin Money, currently on an expansion course.
Virgin Money isn't really a player in the UK mortgage market, and in the first half of this year, Northern Rock's net market share for UK mortgages was 19.5%. It was a very big player.
Virgin is not Northern Rock's only suitor, though. At least two private equity funds, J.C. Flowers and Cerberus, have expressed interest in the British bank. The Northern Rock refinancing package could top $50 billion. I'm Kyle James for Marketplace.
There was a dramatic reversal in the stock market yesterday, touched off by sudden weakness in tech shares. The Dow and the S&P traded at record highs through the morning until J.P. Morgan trimmed its revenue outlook for Baidu.com, the Chinese search engine. May seem fairly innocuous. After all, it ain't Google. But Baidu dropped 10% and took the market with it, especially the NASDAQ. We had the Dow down 63 to 14,015. The S&P lost 8 points. The NASDAQ tumbled 39. That's about 1.5% to 2,772. And Wall Street's woes sent Asian markets lower overnight, and stocks in Europe are down as well. Brazil is South America's largest economy, and it's being threatened by a crumbling infrastructure. This week, the government looked to private business for help. From the America's desk at WLRN, Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
Brazil's a vast country, larger than the continental U.S., but it has few railroads and its air system's a mess. That means commerce must rely on the country's deteriorating roads. Reardon Ruette is with Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies.
There are increasingly loud complaints from the private sector that bad transportation adds cost to exports and to moving materials within the country.
Brazil's government concedes it can't maintain the highways on its own. So this week, Brazil sold off 1,600 miles of highway to private companies. Most of the firms are from Spain. They can collect tolls for 25 years. In exchange, they pledged to pour $10 billion into upgrades and repairs.
It is a breakthrough in that the government finally is willing to accept that they need private investment in public services in Brazil.
The private ownership will not just mean a smoother ride. Tolls will go down 40% starting the middle of next year. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. By the Medtronic Foundation, sponsoring The Mysterious Human Heart, a PBS series exploring diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of heart disease through science and technology, premiering on PBS in October. And by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years, with a commitment to provide objective financial advice.
The rise and fall of the middle class in America is the subject of a new book from New York Times columnist Paul Krugman. It's titled The Conscience of a Liberal, playing off the title of the book from 1960, The Conscience of a Conservative by one-time Republican presidential candidate Barry Goldwater. Mr. Krugman, welcome to the program. What's the narrative here?
The story is that a very large part of what's happened in America in these past few years, but going a long time back, is that a group of people determined to undo what Franklin Delano Roosevelt accomplished in the New Deal took over the Republican Party and to a large extent took over American politics by exploiting various kinds of divisions. But the ultimate source of a lot of what we're seeing is really a kind of counter-revolution against the things that made the middle-class society that I grew up in.
What are the psychological underpinnings of this movement?
The movement itself is largely about money. Getting rid of high taxes on rich people. The things that make it able to succeed electorally are the use of other more emotional issues. But the point of the matter is that the programs that created the middle-class society I grew up in were and are extremely popular, but there is a movement that really, really wants to get rid of them to the extent that they can.
One of the themes of your book also focuses on incomes. So let's look at the gap between high and low incomes today. How would you characterize it right now?
Gilded Age is the quick summary. We are, by the numbers, right back to the levels of income inequality that we had in the 1920s.
How do you argue that higher taxes are ultimately good for those that pay them?
For middle-class people, the combination of a perhaps slightly higher tax rate and a much stronger social welfare system is a clear win. Wouldn't you rather be assured that health care would be there, whatever happens, and in return have to pay perhaps some extra taxes, which would be less for most people than the premiums they now pay on health care, than have our current system, where the U.S. has a level of risk for the individual that no other advanced country has? At the very high end, now, if you're making $1 million a year or more, I'm not claiming that this will make you better off, at least in any financial sense, but even some people in that income class would rather live in a more decent society.
Paul Krugman is our special guest. He is op-ed columnist for the New York Times and professor of economics and international affairs at Princeton. Mr. Krugman's new book is The Conscience of a Liberal. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
On Wednesday, we reported that Alaska Senator Ted Stevens received controversial contributions from two convicted oil industry executives. Stevens' staffers said those contributions had been given to charity. Now, we told you that federal records did not reflect that, which was wrong. A May filing with the Federal Election Commission shows Stevens gave $8,000 to the Special Olympics. We regret the error. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.